Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, a word about this passage from Luke. I'm going to unload some trivia on you, some factoids, but I think they're important for us to understand what's going on here. And the first one is sort of an observation. This is a weird passage. Who here spends their time thinking about demons and their presence in your life or people in your community? Not many of you, I suspect. None of you, perhaps. And we often come up with explanations for demons in the Bible, and they satisfy our modern sensibilities. But I don't think we do the text any justice or fair to the people in the text if we presume that it was just their ignorance that led them to believe in the existence of demons. They didn't have our modern psychology or psychiatry at their disposal. They didn't have textbooks spelling out all the different conditions that we've determined are there in real time in the past. When people were crazy, out of their minds, there were other explanations. And I'm not going to tell you whether demons were real or not. I will tell you that the ancient people believed in them. And that was their understanding and explanation for the behavior of some people in their community. I will also tell you that this is a political text. And I know some will say that the Bible doesn't deal with politics. I don't know what Bible you're reading if you say that. But this text is explicitly political. Legion is a term to describe a company of Roman soldiers. There is no difference than if this story were taking place today and the guy who was inhabited by the demons called himself Battalion. Legion was 6,000 Roman soldiers and pigs. Now, some people read this text and they feel bad for the pigs, right? Oh my gosh, what happens to the pigs? There was no PETA back then. People didn't believe in animal rights. Again, we cannot take our modern perceptions and sensibilities and assume that people who lived 2,000 years ago should have thought the same way. We remember that the Hebrews and the Jews after them saw pigs as being unclean. And we know that Luke was aware of that. And when we read the parable of the Good Samaritan later on in Luke's gospel, we remember that the son who went away and lived in a foreign country had fallen so low that he had become a swineherd. That was not something Jews wanted to do. And here we read about this community on the far side of Lake Galilee, where people were taking care of pigs. And if you were a Jew living in Palestine at that time, you had no use for that. Because the only reason these people were raising pigs was to provide food to the Roman soldiers, the occupiers, the enemy. So the idea of Roman soldiers going into those pigs and drowning themselves was something that would have resonated positively with Luke's audience. Now, why am I telling you all this? Why am I doing this data dump? What does this text have to say to us? Well, imagine that someone in eastern Ukraine is reading this text today. Think about it. What does this text have to say to our brother or our sister in an eastern Ukrainian city that has been occupied by the Russians? What do they take away from it? Well, first of all, if they're aware of some of what I just told you, they would like to think of the Russians. as the Romans. And they wouldn't mind the Russians being swept away in the river or the lake. They want to know that God cares about them. And that's what this text is telling us. That this man who had been possessed by demons had a chance to be reclaimed by his community. And what do we see the community does? There isn't this cry of joy and jubilation, Fred's been restored to us. No. All of a sudden, they see the power of Jesus has messed things up for them. It's made things inconvenient. Sure, this guy's been freed of his demons, and people no longer have to worry about binding him up. But they've also lost a source of income. And that's inconvenient for them. And I would ask you to think about what things you don't want to give up because it's inconvenient. I can ask that of myself too. And I think everyone in the church, the universal church, needs to ponder questions like that. Where do we make accommodations? Because that is the convenient, easy thing for us to do. I don't have an answer for you, but it's a question you need to consider and to think about. And as we look at this story, we see that Jesus tells the man who has been healed, "Do not follow me." Now that seems a little bit strange, doesn't it? Because Jesus usually in the Gospels is telling people to keep quiet, to not spread the news about him. But Jesus here has told the man to stay behind. And he's going to have to live with the difficulty of rebuilding relationships with people in his community. And he has to tell them about Jesus and what has been done for him. And that's not easy. But I want us to think about a couple of things here. First of all, Jesus is here doing wonders among the Gentiles. His ministry has expanded beyond the Jewish community. And we can see that God's love is available for all of us. And we hear that again in the passage from Galatians with the famous line from Paul saying, "There is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." Now, I know that there's been some talk about identity politics. And frankly, I don't have much use for it. Because you may remember that I was raised in a Jewish household. And identity politics got some of our ancestors marched off to death camps. Identity politics are seen in one way as an affirmation of who we are as people. And that's a good thing. But it's also a denial of what ultimately joins us together. God does not care if you're male or female. God does not care whether you are slave or free. God does not care if you are Jew or Greek. And if God does not care, we should not care. Think about that. Now, are we actually honoring Paul's call here? No, we're not. And so I'll backtrack a little bit and suggest maybe we do need to pay a little bit of attention to people, their identities, their nationalities, their backgrounds, their hurts, their pain, and their suffering. Because just because we have not gone through those things ourselves does not mean that pain is not real for others. And again, this story in Luke tells us to be mindful of what others are going through, even if it inconveniences us. So yes, we can feel bad for the people who lost their livings trading with the enemy, supporting oppression, collaborating with the bad guys. And maybe we won't feel so bad for them. Because maybe they've got skills that could be used to do something else. to raise other animals, or to tend other crops, or to go into other lines of business. And yes, sometimes that can be difficult. But we remember the quote from Scripture, "What does it profit a man if he loses his soul?" Think about that. Think about that. Jesus wants us to assume a new identity. And not being, again, a Jew or a Greek, male or female, slave or free. Jesus wants us to each recognize that we are children of God. And when we recognize that in ourselves, we need to recognize that in our neighbors. We need to recognize it in everybody here in this congregation, and everyone in the community. And that's not always easy. Because there are people out there who think things and do things that I think are awful. But guess what? They are still God's children. And I believe God is going to deliver judgment. But that's God's business, not mine. So we need to work together to honor our innate humanity and our innate goodness. And when people are doing things that drive us nuts, when they hold opinions we don't like, we can turn away from them. We can choose not to spend our time with them. But rather than focus on what they're doing wrong, and investing a lot of psychic energy in that, why don't we focus on what is good in the world and what is right in the world? So I'm going to bring up the Bikin Builders again. We had 20 some odd young people here, and it was great to see them. Just these young people were going to cycle across the United States, stopping in communities along the way, working on projects, housing projects, for people they did not know. Think about that. And I want to thank those of you in the congregation who prepared food for them. And for those of you who helped to maintain this building, which they got to enjoy. And I was asked about the banner in front of the church. And that spoke to them. The church can be a beacon to the community, as long as we continue to remember what it is Jesus wants us to do. So remember, Jesus cared about the slave and the prisoner, and the outcast. All of the people that we are, to some degree or another, tempted to turn away from. Think about that. Why do we do that? One of the passage readings for today comes from the Hebrew Bible, a story in 1 Kings, and it's about Elijah. And Elijah is on the run because Jezebel wants to basically execute him. And Elijah hears God speaking with a small, still voice. And I know that sometimes we think about God speaking from Mount Sinai, and we think about the clouds and the thunder and all the noise. And we think about God as being this big baddie who can just throw God's weight around. But that's not who God is. We need to listen to God, who is still speaking to us to this day. And we need to stop listening to the things that distract us, whether it's the music playing from Colburn Park right now, or the little voices in our head that tell us, no, 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 you want to get the TV, you want to get that thing. You want to go do that thing you know you're not supposed to do, but you'd like to. God's revelation to us comes in many different ways. And we have the power to receive it or to ignore it. Think about that. You have great agency, and we all do as a community. Are we willing to listen to what God has to say to us? Now, these people back in Gerasene were scared by the power of God, as it was made known in Jesus. And they went on living their lives as they did before. And we know that they missed out on something. My hope is that we today will not miss out on what God is offering us. That we will accept God's grace and saving power. That we will rejoice in being chosen by God to be God's people. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you from the stories from Scripture that challenge us, that illuminate us, that help us to see your desire for us and our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.